Hilliard Lyons is proud to become a part of Baird, a trusted financial services firm that shares our commitment to the community. I'm Jeff Main, branch manager with Hilliard Lyons. You can learn more about Baird and our new partnership at HilliardToBaird.com.
Every Wednesday, we check in at Indiana University, and we zoom over to see our great friend, Chuck Carney. And Chuck joins us. Three big things at IU. The doctor is in. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm watching out my window as you were reading the forecast. It's cloudy here as I'm just off of Sayre Road location. And it's, you know, looks like I'm betting on some rain.
All right. On your side of town, it will probably be the better chance because what I'm looking at on the radar is on the south side of Monroe County in that direction. Perhaps if you're on Lake Monroe, you might want to pay attention. I'm not sure how many people stream the show on Lake Monroe when they're out there during the afternoons, but you never want to assume anything in this business. So you let me know if it starts raining there because everything is south. So if it starts drifting this way, you will be the boots on the ground.
Right.
I notice you have no tie on today. Congratulations.
Well, it's only because I've taken it off. It'll go back on probably at some point here, but I've taken it off for now.
Well, that's the – all right. The medium, again, fake it till you make it, and it will go back on. So that means, obviously, you're busy, and we are always busy with Dr. Chuck Carney. He's the Director of Media Relations for all the Indiana University campuses, and we focus – what's going on everywhere, but obviously here in Bloomington, the big numbers that are popping up are popping up on your brand new COVID dashboard. Tell me who put that together, how it got together, and what is it telling us here in the early days of 2020?
Yeah, so it's a dashboard that you can find if you go to our fall2020.iu.edu website. And there is now a link at the top of that page that says dashboard. And if you click on that, it will take you to a page that will be updated every Monday. So it actually went up on Friday, but we updated it on Monday of this week. And we'll do again, I think we'll even do it on Labor Day on Monday. But it gives the list of results for the week. And the reason we updated on Monday is that was our first full result on mitigation testing, which is where we are right now. And mitigation testing is the ongoing testing in which all faculty, students, and staff will be tested at some point during the semester, and some more than others, depending on what we're trying to monitor. But we now have results on that. And so the numbers, as everyone probably has heard by this point, you know, there's a tale of two sort of areas. And so overall, we're at 3.5% positivity rate for the Bloomington campus. That is higher than we had in our arrival testing, which we announced at 1%. But you have to break it down, and we do on the page where we look at, well, first of all, if you see the arrival testing, we had 33,000 tests, 1% positive. In the mitigation testing, that's where we get to the 3.5%. And so far, we've done almost 8,000 tests. And actually, that's as of Monday. So we've done well more than that now. And we'll have a new batch this coming Monday. The high rate came from the areas of our communal living areas. And those are the Greek houses. And so those were testing at around 8%. And by contrast, the residence halls were all around 1%. So that is where we're getting the hike overall to up to 3.5%. So we have been working with the Greek houses since the early part of the summer for them to develop a plan for quarantining and isolating there, but also to keep their residents in a safe space as much as possible. It is very difficult, if not impossible, to not be a close contact to somebody in one of these communal living spaces in the Greek houses. If those of you have had a student in one of those, or you have been one yourself, you may know the term cold dorm. And what that means is it's like a kind of an army barrack situation where you have a bunch of students in one room who are living sometimes in bunk beds. Now, that's been changed in a lot of these houses this year because of the current situation. But nonetheless, it's not like a residence hall where you have closer contacts who are on one floor, but you may have, in some of our cases, many multiple floors, and they may not ever see anybody on the 10th floor if you're on the second. That's not the case in these houses. Now, Important to note that, of course, everybody probably realizes that we don't own and operate the Greek houses, but we strongly advise and we work with them very closely. So that's what we have been doing and are continuing to do as we try to make sure that we get a handle on this and keep a close watch on it. We have so far quarantined, as of today, 23 houses, and that number may rise. And that is to make sure that we don't have these students out into the general population of the campus and into the general population. They are quarantining in the house for 14 days. So, and actually I should point out they're being directed to quarantine at home also. So if they can return to a residence.
Huh? They have a choice there, correct?
Yeah, so they can quarantine at a permanent residence if they would like, and that's actually the preferable thing. But we do have to work. It depends on this particular situation, where a student's from, and what's practical, of course.
And the other thing that I think you've done an excellent job reminding people, and not everybody knows this, is Indiana University doesn't own the Greek houses or have any control of anything they do. You can just make suggestions to them, but that's different in the dorms where you've put just one student in one room and you can control it there. What other communal living other places are? Is it just dorms in Greek houses? I'm trying to think what else would this would affect?
And this gives me a wonderful opportunity to clear something up, because there was a little confusion over the weekend, even in some media reporting. And I spend a good portion of my weekend, as many people do, calling ABC News and other places. So you're doing yard work, then you call the news desk at ABC. But not to point out ABC, this is not just their issue. But this doesn't. We've mentioned last week in our public safety announcement the Evans Scholars and also the Christian Student Fellowship. Those are also considered communal living. I know that the Christian Student Fellowship happens to be very close to a sorority house where my daughter used to live. And so those are considered as a part of this, but they are subject to the restrictions on their social activities. They can't do that, and that's been restricted, but they are not under quarantine, those two in particular.
All right, so the quarantine rates lead to the rates lead to the quarantine, and if those communal living spaces do the same thing, that will be the path we follow down the road. Are you pleased with the numbers you are seeing otherwise outside of the communal living?
Well, yeah, outside of those, the numbers are relatively good in the residence halls. Now, I always say this, and everybody does, with a little bit of trepidation, because we still have a long way to go. This is just underway, and we knew there would be positives. We've said that all along, and we've prepared for the situation. The key thing is to make sure that we move quickly and get students who are in a situation where they have tested positive, where that we can get them quarantined and isolate those who may have been exposed. And one thing to point out is that we would operate in a residence hall in a similar way. If someone tests positive, then people on their floor may have to isolate as well, because they are a close contact. So it's not something that is particular to the Greek houses, but we have pointed out before that the Greek houses are particular in that they are constructed in such a way where it is not possible to not be a close contact for the most part with many of the other residents.
Dr. Chuck Carney is our guest this afternoon. Three big things at Indiana University. He is the Director of Media Relations. Tell me about mitigation testing, why that's different, and why it's terribly important for what we're trying to accomplish.
Well, mitigation testing is what we're doing ongoing, and that is really how we keep track on what is developing. And so all of the students, faculty, and staff will be tested. And by the way, I should add parenthetically here, this is not being done everywhere. This is not what every campus has prepared to do. But we will be sending out an email notice to students, faculty, and staff when they are chosen to come in and get a mitigation test during the semester. So at some point, and I haven't gotten one yet, I will get a test or an email that will say I need to report to one of these two locations on campus and get a test to see if I test positive for COVID. Now, those are not random in the sense that they are not just picking names out of a hat, that this is something where we will be doing some sort of random like selection where I may be selected simply because my name came up. But in the case of the Greek houses and other areas where we do have a sense that there may be some hot spot areas, we'll be testing those in particular and selecting people for more frequent testing because we're trying to keep an eye on that. So that is the way that we're able to make sure that we know where it might be developing, and through also contact tracing, where we have a positive, we will have contact tracers that we've hired to contact people who may be close contacts. Then we can also make sure that we have a handle on who else needs to be tested. So the idea is to really formulaically, if that's a good way to put it, make sure that we have a handle on where the tests may turn positive, what areas of campus and what people are more likely. So we'll be testing everybody at some point or another and making sure that we have a handle on it as we move through the semester.
Now, we know the city of Bloomington as utilities department is looking at some water samples from around the place, trying to get ahead of this thing. Is that something, I know you guys are sharing that information, are you using their data there, or is that something Indiana University is also doing, trying to, again, keep a handle on where this can be mitigated, slowed down, stopped, or otherwise?
Well, we're not doing that right now, and I think the best way to put it is that we're not doing that mainly because we're doing this very targeted testing where we are selecting people where we should know based on where they live, where they work, where the potential hotspots might be. And we'll be keeping an eye on it with very frequent mitigation testing. And I would put in, too, that we are building up capacity as we speak. We are already in the thousands. Our goal was 5,000 tests last week. We will get into the well past 10,000 tests this week. Our goal is to, when we get a new lab up and running in Bloomington, hopefully by October, and then two in Indianapolis, we'll then be in a place where we don't have to send off the test to get the results, and we should be able to get up to the thousands of tests a day. And that's where we are building towards. So we'll be in a better place to keep an eye on this in the coming weeks than we are even right now.
Are you, when you talk about testing labs, is that something that you and your IU Medical is doing, or these outside places that you are working with?
It's Indiana University, and it is our medical school and the expertise there combined with our two schools of public health, one in Indianapolis and one in Bloomington. And those experts in epidemiology and other areas have come together to work on this, and that's really where the expertise of IU is coming to the fore on this. So they're developing the plans, developing the labs, and doing all of the things to prepare for that.
And you don't have to worry about a third party giving you the runaround or anything else. You have this obviously under your purview, which has to make it a little bit more easy to come up with timelines and testing turnaround times and everything else. You can lean on your own folks a little bit harder, perhaps, than others. Dr. Chuck Carney is our guest, the Director of Media Relations and spokesperson for Indiana University. Speaking of campus, speaking of enrollment, what are our final numbers? Did those come out this week? When do we get that total?
Yeah, so actually this is news that is, it's the release that I'm looking at is still warm.
Oh, let me get my timpani drum out really quick.
So this came out maybe an hour ago, our official news release on enrollment. The official census day for the fall semester is the first Monday of the second week of class. And that, of course, is, as everybody knows, people shift around that first week. Some people may even enroll the second week. So the first Monday of the second week is considered the best way to count the number of students that we have. So overall, we have 90,000 degree-seeking students at all of the IU campuses. And 62,000 of them, almost 63,000, are Indiana residents. Now, on the Bloomington campus, we have just over 42,552 degree-seeking students at IU Bloomington. And in Indianapolis, that's 28,612. So the enrollment came in an area that we were fairly pleased with. You know, this did not drop off dramatically, even given the circumstances that are so challenging this fall, and we're certainly pleased with that. It's also a really diverse class. We have 9,950 degree-seeking minority students, and that is 26.2% of the total degree-seeking population on the Bloomington campus. And so we're working on that area and increasing those numbers, and that's a good thing to see as well.
Outstanding. And that number of 42,552, is that an average year? What's the record? What's the low? Are we? You said everything's okay. It's just not great.
Yeah, it's slightly lower than what we have had in recent years. But that's been around the 43,000 range, something like that. So it's not that far off. And as you look throughout the system, of all the IU campuses, some campuses are down a little bit this year, but not way down. It is a truism in an economy that is difficult, that people do tend to go back to school. It's a little early probably to figure that into it at this point. But at the minimum, certainly the undergraduate population has held pretty well. And we feel like certainly getting the Indiana students in here has been key. And we've got a large group of them this year.
And to wrap things up, what is going on? First Thursdays, they're back. What have I missed?
Well, you know, First Thursday, those of us who like to go to these free events on campus, this is one of the things you really look forward to. And so people might be wondering, well, are First Thursdays not going to happen this year? And I am here to tell you they are going to happen. So it's going to look a little bit different, as you can imagine, but the Arts and Humanity Council First Thursday Festival will be taking place. There will be physical distancing and other public safety requirements, of course. There will be performances at open-air venues throughout campus. And so those who attend, we are asking you to register online before the event. And there's a Google Doc where you can do that. And that's a link in a story at news.iu.edu. And it's one of the featured stories up there right now. But the First Thursday tomorrow, sign up to come. It goes from 3 to 6 p.m. And there will be events at the Arboretum, at the 7th Street Arts Plaza, the Conrad Prebis Amphitheater, and the Jordan River in that area. The emphasis on the performances, of course, will be outside. And there will be, this is why I always go to these things. People who know me well know this is what pulls me in. The political and civic engagement group known as PACE is giving away free T-shirts. That's all you have to say. Free T-shirt.
Wardrobe upgrade. Anything. Speaking of wardrobes, get your tie back on, buddy. You're going to be at it here before you know it all day long. Have a fantastic Labor Day weekend, my friend, and we'll get caught up with you next week.
All right. Thank you.